If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the Supreme Spirit. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is Our Vibrations Match the Realms and Realities We Can Enter. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and call your own vibratory field to activation and your conscious awareness right down into your body. Know that you are embodied light. You are living light. You are the living word. You are the living love of divine source, presenting as the myriad forms throughout creation. And you know what? You are unlimited. You're living light, everywhere present. You're living love, all inclusive. You are the living word, and as a conscious, awakened human being, you are the only entity throughout creation that can speak directly for God from the densified light that we call this material earth. Now, if that's not awesome, I don't know what is. You have been given the ability to know, love, serve, speak for, and as God. And you have the potential in the human form alone to fully present the divine presence. You can manifest full godhood or any gradated degree of that light, that vibration we call light, which is actually creative intelligence. You see, it comes as light into our mind, and then the mind and brain translate it into our pictures of reality and our verbal form of expression. But the direct communication of God is through light and sound. And the beginning was the word. The word is called pranava in Sanskrit, and it is the om. A-U-M. The A is creation, the U is sustenance, and the M is merger. And the silence that follows that is the supreme absolute, beyond any possible way we could define it. So, with that intro, all of a sudden my body is vibrating really high and starting to burn with a fire that came through those codes of light. Because as we work with you each week, it's not so much the information, it's the vibratory encodements that ride out on my voice. I'm encoded to activate and awaken dormant divinity, so that that latency can be quickened and brought to full awareness in your mind, in your heart, in your innermost being, so that you can manifest the full glory of God, which is your birthright, your nature, and your inheritance. You are divine, holy, pure incarnations of the one Atmic Spirit, every single one of you. There's no greater or lesser. Only in the presentation of the timeline of time and space does it seem that some people are more advanced and others less so. But that's all a big nonsense. It's a big Maya dance. In highest truth, we're the being, awareness, bliss, Atma. And we're completely one and equal and the same, out of time. And time and space and causality are but illusions that the separated sense of self has developed to explain what seems to be sequential events, which when you understand quantum physics, you'll realize there's no sequential events happening. They're memories that the mind then sort of lines up to make rational sense of it. But in highest truth, there's no time, there's no space, there's no process even of evolution or becomingness. It's all big Maya dance. But tonight we're going to be talking about some Maya dance because it helps to explain why we have certain realities that we can enter and experience and certain things we can see, and other people maybe think we're nuts because they can't see these things. And they don't have this knowing and understanding. So it would seem like they are not as evolved or as awakened as we are. But again, bear in mind that's a big temporary Maya dance. That's not really based on ultimate reality with a capital R. So our vibrations match the realms and realities that we are permitted to enter. You have to have a vibrational match, or at least a harmonic chord therein, through which you can actually see and experience different manifestations of our multidimensional creation. So take another deep breath and feel that divine light pouring through the top of your head and filling every fiber of your nervous system, every cell of your body, with your own divine will, quicken and activate the light in each cell. Irradiate each cell of your body until you glow like a diamond. You're like a composite of pure, radiant, diamond light. And see if you can experience your own deliciousness, your own vibratory presence. Let's start with something simple like your hands or your feet. Feel inside your body, your skin, inside, not defined or limited by the body. Yeah, that's it. Feel the tingling in your hands. And then begin to experience your inner energy, inner energetic self, quite apart from the body. Feel everything at the same time. Oh, fantastic. Some of you got it right away. Please get a sense of yourself as energy and consciousness beyond the body. Why? Because you'll never again fear death. You'll never, never worry about the skin falling aside when you know your omnipresent, unlimited energy and consciousness. And that's immortal and eternal. And it just keeps getting better and better and better and more awakened and expanded until there's nowhere, beloved, that you are not. And there's no form in which you do not dwell as the love within the heart. Meditate on that and set yourself free forever from defining yourself as a limited body subject to birth and death and all that stuff. Very good. Okay, take another deep breath. And just center quietly here and now. And I want you to look around wherever you're sitting or standing or driving. Perhaps you're in your home. If so, I want you to look at every item that you see and realize it's a state of vibration. Everything. Everything is a vibration. It's condensed light. And only our interpretive factor within the brain defines it as a this or a that. So let's get beyond the definitions of a this and a that and just look at everything as an energy, as vibrating light. I promise you that when you get to a certain vibration, everything dissolves in light. There's nothing solid. Everything is God's light. Divine light. So a really good exercise out of the Course of Miracles is to look around your room and realize that God is in everything you see. Because it's God that's actually looking out of your eyes and seeing. In fact, God doesn't even have to look out of your eyes. God is the awareness itself that sees. And we're the ones that add the label of the this and of that to our sense of separation as all it is. So, okay, everything is a vibration. Everything was created by someone who held an intention when they created that object. When you really become a discerner of energy, you can touch or pick up an object and tell the state of consciousness and the rate of vibration and the intention of that person that created it. Okay, now we are ideas in the mind of God, burst of God's desire to extend love into the many forms. Why? Well, the Vedas put it this way. I am alone, quoting God in the Vedas. I am alone. Let me be many. And why was that? Because God had, let's say, the divine intention to extend love for the joy of extending love and through that extension creating many expressions of love for the purpose of relationship without relating to another. We all know that that's the greatest source of joy in the world. Is to be in love, to give love, to receive love. You know, every atom of existence is longing to return to love. Your negative thoughts are coming back to you to be returned to love. Your unhealed emotions, your pains, your grievances are coming back to you again and again. Sometimes as tormenting thoughts. But what they're doing is coming back to be resolved to love, returned to love. So every single negative energy that you believe that you're encountering within and without, realize that they're coming to you for one thing, to be returned to love. How do you do that? Well, it's very simple. Just imagine the form of God that you love most, whether it's Jesus or Sai Baba or Krishna or Buddha or whomever, Divine Mother. And take that tormented thought, that emotional angst, that pain, that grievance, that hatred, and just take a deep breath. Release it to that form that you visualize standing right in front of you. Take it, Divine Mother. Take it, Sai Baba. Take it, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, take it. And give me a heart of pure love. Give me a heart that sees only the good and the divine and feels loving compassion for each and every one. And that's how you set yourself free. So, consider also the objects that perhaps you spend time with, your books, DVDs, media apps, all the things that you enter into when you're watching or listening or reading, puts you into a resonant field of vibration that embodies the consciousness of that person that created that object, whatever it is. You know, sometimes they speak in the teachings of right livelihood. Right livelihood is not participating in creating objects that kill and destroy and harm the health and well-being of yourself or others. So I was thinking the other day of the intention of people who create, for example, insecticides and poisons, you know, that are designed to take life. The vibration of the intention of that object, I find absolutely, not permitted in my field. Not anywhere where I want to have my food or anything next to that vibration of that particular thing because of the intention that went into making that. So harmlessness is very important. Nonviolence. Because it's a very, very, very low vibration, the intention to harm and destroy and hurt, even an insect. The same God created the insect, and it has every right to live its natural life as any other creation. So there's little niceties or little degrees in which we need to discern the intention behind the things that we spend time with and that we fill our field with, our environment. I used to find the vibration, for example, of a newspaper to be so loathsome and such a low frequency, I wouldn't tolerate it in my space. I became so sensitive to things like that. So be aware that when you're reading someone's book, you're actually living in their field of vibration, their state of consciousness and intention. So it pays to be very wise and read books from people at a very high state of vibration, because why would you want to import the vibration of somebody's deranged mind or their baser instincts or the tormented and negative imagery that so many people use the medium of writing to vent? Discern the energies of everything. So vibrations resonate your energy signature, which is unique to each individual. There's no two yous anywhere. People talk about parallel yous and parallel realities, another big nonsense. Your frequency is unique to you, period. Now, you can embody that in multiple bodies, like Sai Baba and Milarepa and many other great beings that are able to operate in one or more physical bodies at the same time, and even incorporate their subtle bodies so that each operates in different dimensions at the same time. There's no limit. Sai Baba, for example, is omnipresent, not just on Earth, but throughout the wholeness of this creation. That's how he experiences himself as the dweller in every heart, be it the heart of a bug or the heart of the greatest God presence. He finds his own being in that. That's such an advanced state of divine cosmic God consciousness, it's hard to even talk about it. He said it's like a, you know, an ant trying to appreciate a mountain, trying to understand a mountain. We can appreciate it at best, but we can't really comprehend it at our particular state. So just be aware that your unique energy signature is how you're identified throughout the cosmos. We don't go by names and labels and all that sort of thing. We're known by our vibration, because nobody can fake that. Nobody can duplicate your vibration. You are a unique vibration of the love of God. We have one word in English for love, but in truth, there is, every one of us is a unique manifestation of divine love. So your states of consciousness are revealed by your vibration. Our overall vibratory rate is our open sesame to enter similar dimensions and realms and realities. You can't go where you don't have a vibrational affinity. Okay? Your vibration. Can you imagine trying to realize God in a state less than pure divinity? You know, purity is divinity by Sai Baba's definition. So purity, absolute purity, probably don't even have a clue what that is, but we can keep trying to purify the mind and the heart as best we can, but only God's grace gives you actually the ability to return to absolute oneness with the divine spirit consciously. We can kind of lay in the spiritual disciplines that kind of rein in our emotions and our mind and quiet our levels and bring ourselves into a centered place. But the final opening into that realization that we call God realization, God consciousness, is a gift that comes to us according to the will of God. So there's not just one reality. There are endless realities. And each open chakra is a dimensional door into a corresponding realm of existence. So your vibratory vibration, your rate, is your key, your passport, and your ticket to enter or access whatever it is that you would like to enter. Big key. So only a master is free to come and go at will, in and out of time. And some operate consciously in multiple bodies at the same time. So masters can work in one or many physical bodies, or in physical bodies and subtle bodies at the same time, or as invisible energies who can operate stepping in and out of form that they materialize in their minds and present as a Maya Virupa, an illusory form, to serve whatever dimension or planet or area they want to appear in. They can appear before you and dematerialize their body Many of us have had that encounter where we've met a being, we turn around and the being has vanished. So that's because they have that instant ability to intend themselves in a particular place and they instantly manifest and then intend themselves out of that area and they dematerialize. So Sai Baba said that the highest divine beings operate as currents of energy. They don't even have forms. So the only reason we have a human body is because that's the earth suit that vibrates with the elements of the earth. It's made up of the elements of the earth. It's our way of showing up on planet Earth. But if we were going to appear on Venus or Mars or one of the other planets, there's no life in the physical dimension there. So we would have to manifest a subtle body to live and appear on another planet, for example, in our solar system. So always remember that you are not a body, whether physical or subtle. You are an immortal divine spirit. You are God appearing in and as every form for the purpose of giving and receiving love. Kind of sweet. So everything in every form, an object and person, consists of vibration. But it's interesting, unique in all of creation is the human being and our ability, which is alone capable of resonating the full range of emotions. We're the only one that has that vast ability to manifest the highest vibration and the lowest vibration. We can resonate the full range of multidimensional states of vibration and states of consciousness. And we can manifest the vibratory span of the lowest astral and subhuman states all the way to the very highest states of self-awareness and God-realization. And so within the human form itself is a microcosmic replica of every single thing that is contained in the macrocosm. So everything in all of existence throughout the vastness of unlimited creation finds its correspondency within the human physical body, which I think is absolutely amazing. The Vedic teachings go into this very, very minutely. So if you want more information, you will need to turn to Vedic sources. But, wow, you'll just never regard yourself as being simply, quote, human, after you understand the uniqueness of having finally, after eons of time, acquired a human form and a lifetime on Earth, which, again, Sai Baba said, is the only planet, the only state, human form, human body, by which we can consciously return to God consciousness, and to God source. So, my heavens, we need to realize the preciousness that we have in having a human form. So, again, just glance around you and realize that everything is simply light, vibrating at the very most dense frequency, which would then appear as a physical form. So the ascension process is gradually raising the vibration and thus the light and love quotient, because love and light are identical. And the highest rate of vibration, of course, is love. So it's bringing love into every cell, every single bit of our being, and raising the vibration until it manifests light. We're most of us in light body now. Certainly those of you who listen are attracted and magnetized to listen to things that we share. You're in light body. It doesn't look like your body's any different because you don't have a reference point for the brilliance of the light that you are. But if you could get a glimpse of yourself for even 1 second in your true glorified body, well, you would fall down and worship yourself. But that's how glorious that we are. And the glory belongs to the Lord, because it is the Lord indwelling in us as us. That is the presence that we're here to incorporate and present throughout our life, throughout our expression. So, out of the endless creation, we are each recognized by our unique composite of vibrations and our overall energy signature. So, in reality, there's no one else in all of existence that carries your particular signature energetically. Nothing, no one can fake you. No one. If you can discern the vibration. And there again, only the heart discerns. Only your core spiritual essence can discern. Because in reality, we can only see in the lower realms a mirroring so that we see in another what we have attained and experienced within ourselves. That's why a person who's vibrating at a very high level is able to see the good and the divine and the holy in other people. That would indicate a pure heart and a pure mind. Now, when you're cleansed and clean within yourself, you will see that purity in everyone else. So although we're each an embodiment of this one divine source, we are unique in our individualities as fractals of divine source. I think a good example is the Easter egg. We'll take a white egg, or, you know, several white eggs, each representing the individualized unit of consciousness that we call soul. But if we dip each of these white eggs in a multicolored oil bath, each white egg will come out assuming a different design and arrangement of that colored oil. And the multicolored oil dip represents our unique immersion in the time, space, and causality of life. We all have different lifetimes and different experiences and different memories and different environments, which makes each of us, even though we're pure spirit, very unique as individualized souls. So our rate of vibration is colored by what we've been immersed in life after life, and we've taken on the colors of our life's experiences. And our vibrations are how we are recognized throughout, wherever we happen to be. And let me clarify here, this quality of a higher presence with a capital P, of, let's say, spiritually aligned vibrations, is cultivated as we proceed with doing whatever we do to come nearer and dearer to the divine source, our spiritual practice, our meditations, our prayers, most of all the intentions of our heart, and how we operate lovingly within society and with our fellow brothers and sisters, we begin to develop a very strong presence, divine presence, that the average person has yet to build in. You have to work towards these things. So there are many people that do not have a very strong field of individualized presence yet. But I'm not talking to the masses. I'm talking to the disciples and the initiates and the light bearers and budding masters that are really desirous of loving and serving and moving their vibrations into the highest positive state possible. I'm speaking to you. And so you have already created an individualized presence that many, many people in the outer world have not yet done. So I want to clarify that so you understand. So our vibratory state determines our reality. It determines what we can notice, access, and experience, or not. Our vibrations must match, or at least harmonize and co-resonate with what we want to see and experience. That's why people can stand side by side. And for example, I remember sitting in the darshan line one time waiting for Sai Baba to come out and give his daily blessings and walk amongst us. And I heard one woman say that he looked at her with pure hatred. And, you know, another person and myself, I'm looking there and I'm seeing God. It's so interesting. Two people can be standing out and looking at the sky, and one can see a beautiful UFO, and the other person can't see it at all. So it's all about what we're looking through in terms of our state of consciousness, our state of vibration, our level of light integration, our level of initiation, that determines how we can see and what we can see. And you can't hurry that up. You know, the masters that guard and guide humanity are kind of like gardeners. They put a little fertilizer, a little water on us, and they watch us grow. But aside from protecting us from, you know, pestilence and pulling a few weeds here and there, they let us grow at our own rate. Because consciousness must be left free to grow at its own rate. You can't hurry it up. You can't scream at that little green apple and say, get ripe. It's going to get ripe when it gets ripe. And amongst the green apples of humanity, you know, we as light workers are here to exemplify and model a more loving, kind, and just world and way of living in the world that looks compassionate and is compassionate, that is caring, cooperative, and working together in teamwork to make this whole thing work more harmoniously for everyone. And that's about what we can do. We can model, we can show and tell, but that's about it. Everybody is free to take their own rate, and there's no hurry. You know, there's eternity. And the one thing you never completely reach the end of is God. You know, it's always the next step, next step, next step, greater expansion, greater initiation, greater encompassment, greater expansion of awareness. There's no end. And so there's no need to get stressed or worried. Everything is just unfolding as it needs to, just fine. So, our overall vibratory rate reveals just everything about us, our state of consciousness, our level of soul integration, where you bring the light of your conscious awareness to where it becomes more and more consistently what you say, what you do, what you think. So there's an agreement between all your levels. You have all your ducks lined up, so to speak. It's interesting. There's a place where the masters say, we have our abode at the seventh level, or the seventh principle, which would be the atmic self, the spirit self, abides, they say, quote, quote, in Shambhala. It's called the abode of the masters. It goes by many, many names. No, it's not the Shangri-La that they show on National Geographic. It's not a place where you can point to and say, oh, there it is. No, it's a state of consciousness that can only be accessed by those who can travel there in the soul body. But you can certainly travel there in the soul body if you have the vibration that matches that level of consciousness. So So it doesn't hurt to ask. You can ask the masters if it's for your highest good that you be allowed to visit Shambhala. And one of the things you'll notice there, which is so fascinating, is that the masters who have taken human beings as disciples and are working with these disciples and initiates, there is in a certain area of Shambhala little what they call teraphs. A teraph is a small replica of that person, like a little hologram or little thought form that resonates the state of vibration of each of the person's physical and subtle bodies. And when a master accepts a person for discipleship and training for self-mastery, they can gauge the development of that person and the purity or whatever state of vibration the various subtle bodies are. You have a physical body, you have a physical etheric, you have an astral body, which is your emotional body, your imaginative body, which is also the causal body, is the body of memory. And then you have the mental body. And then those have to line up with the purposes of the individualized self, which we could call the soul, and the principle of consciousness itself that some people refer to as the Christ consciousness or the Buddha consciousness. But it's that consciousness of love that is seeking to operate through each level. And that's called soul integration or light integration, light infusion. And the masters can look at the little teraph and see which of the subtle bodies are in alignment and balanced and which are not. And they're not allowed to do it for us, but they can bring certain alignments so that there's an easier flow if the karma of that particular person allows. So they, again, they're like gardeners. You know, they can prune and they can trim and they can put a little, little stake there to make the tree grow a little straighter. You know what I'm saying? But the bottom line is that your unfoldment spiritually is very carefully observed by the master that is in charge of your particular development. And we all have one. And that person has been with you for all of your lifetimes. In a sense, you have come from that person, almost like a ray of light from their heart. And it's a beautiful relationship. And you always recognize that vibration. When you have developed yourself to be more conscious spiritually, you'll feel the vibration of your master and those that come in that divine lineage that works through that particular ray of energy. It's a beautiful thing. Will you meet them in the physical? Probably not. Probably not. If you can travel in your soul body, and again, your vibration warrants that, contact, you can visit in the soul body these sacred places, these sacred abodes and ashrams that exist in the physical, but in the four subplanes of the higher physical dimension. So they're not in the really low, what we call third dimension, but they're a little bit higher in vibration. So your vibration, of course, has to match. Can you meet them in the physical? Yes, they can appear. They can appear any time that is necessary, but a master never wastes energy. So if you're a big kid, if you're an advanced disciple, your chances of being contacted physically are very, very close to nil because you're learning to be a master yourself, and you don't need that babysitting at that point. You don't need the, bells and whistles and proof and, you know, all that stuff, razzle-dazzle. Nor would the masters increase your ego. You know, when you want personal special attention from a master, that's the time you're going to least likely get it. Because you have to learn not to follow anything but to become obedient to your higher nature. You know, to bring that personality into alignment with the purpose of the soul, which is to express divine love and selfless service. So when the soul is expressing through you, you become less and less selfish and more selfless, so that your whole life becomes about serving and making other people happy, being a source of strength for other people to stand, being a beam of light shining upon the way for others so they can see where to walk, being a source of steadfast trust and faith and surrender so that people don't get so stressed about little things that go on in daily life. That's how we express the nature of the soul. So there are many interesting things in Shambhala to be seen. There's whole museum archives that have replicas of every one of the root races that has been upon Earth, with not Teroths in this instance, but densified thought forms of each of the types of humanoids that have inhabited this planet. And our Earth humanity today is 18.5 million years old and has seen many, many ages in which there were different biological testing seed programs of consciousness that were brought down upon the planet. The major one was brought in by Lucifer, which also brought in the concept of karma or law and reincarnation, obligatory rebirth until you were perfected, which was well nigh impossible. So then the office of the Christ said they had a better plan, or not a better plan, but they had another plan that they would like to try that would work better. And they sent in Jesus, Emmanuel, to bring in what is called the Christ action, which actually delivered us through grace, rather than having to perfect ourselves through the law. And then another program came in right in the center called the Mystical Traveler Consciousness, which is a neutral path that partakes of the grace action and weaves it from the Luciferian into the Christ, so that there's a weaving and an integrating, and there's room for everybody to tuck in, because it represents every vibratory state of consciousness from the very highest to the very lowest, and brings in the teaching that God loves all of its creation, and not one single soul will be lost. So once one is in that line of divine authority, which is one that is initiated by a physical master called a spiritual traveler in the physical body, once that connection is consciously made, the Luciferian energies cannot touch you. They have to stand back. When Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, it says that during the time he was in the tomb, he descended into hell. What did he do? He set all the captives free. Because up until the time Jesus came into the body, the Luciferian power was not permitting souls to exit the earth. He kept bringing them back again and again into the Hades section, which is like a holding tank for souls that were kept, you know, under that law, which says you've got to be perfect, absolutely perfect, or you can't get out of here. And Jesus said, no, I am the perfection. I am the way. I am the grace. I will do it for all of my brothers and sisters, and they're mine. You cannot touch them. So it was a big, 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 big shift. And so today we see a lot of, sour apples that are fighting against that bestowal of grace, that unmerited gift that was given to humanity, not just to Christians. It's for everybody. It's for everyone. It's not a religious thing. It's an action that is for all mankind. But it is the way that is a higher, let's say, a way to exit the physical planet.
Otherwise, you keep coming back again and again and again and again, trying to perfect yourself, which is a waste of time, because in highest truth, you've never not been perfect. You have never, ever separated from the heart and mind of God, except in a little belief of separation. So the only thing that's being corrected is that belief. And so when you accept the freedom, the gift of freedom through grace, you just say, yes, Lord, yes, yes. I place myself in your hands, under your grace, under your covenant, and I step free through your love. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to do anything for it, but accept it. But once you've accepted it, you need to walk in that way of love and grace and raise your vibration to be Christ-like through selfless love, selfless service, and loving God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul, and loving your fellow man as your own self, because there is only one. And so it's constant vigilance. Is this a way that's approved by the Christ? Is this a way that pleases the Father, Mother, God? And you know what? Your conscience is going to let you know when you're in alignment and when you're not. Because when you're out of alignment with that divine love, the feedback is that you're an unhappy camper. Life is not flowing harmoniously for you. You've placed yourself in Hades. You've placed yourself in the bardos of hell. No. When you walk with the Lord, you walk by faith and not by sight, and you walk carefully, and you walk in the way of light and loving, unconditionally, no matter what. You're loyal to that divine self that dwells within you, that has been called the Christ consciousness, because it is that. It is that. You're born of spirit. Born of spirit. And you're a new creation in Christ. So that's what we have as a new covenant, a new agreement with God that has been brought onto the planet by the one that we knew as Jesus the Christ. And as I have said before, he is with us and has always been with us and will never leave us until the end of the age. And then we will go home in him, with him, and that's it, in a nutshell. He went ahead to forge the way so that where he is, we can be also. That's probably the topic for another seminar. But I wanted to say that the sacred and secret and higher initiatory states of consciousness, with all their realms and all their wisdom and divine beings, are accessed only by those of similar vibration. So if you want to be with Jesus or any one of the masters or visit Shambhala or be able to enter the fifth world or the fifth dimension into which life is now moving, the seventh golden age, it has to match that vibration, which is one of living love and living peace. And peace and love are experienced the closer and the nearer and the dearer you become to the Lord, the Beloved. The more you will feel peace and love and joy, because it is found nowhere else. You will not find that anywhere else. So to look anywhere else for happiness or peace or joy, that's lasting. You only have it by bringing your vibrations up to that of the Lord, to that of Christ, to that of Jesus, to that of Buddha, to that of Sai Baba, to that of the highest beings that you can conceive of. They all embody divine love. Krishna, Buddha, you know, all of them. All of the masters are embodiments of divine love. So everything is thus energetically encoded, and thus dwell those of corresponding frequencies. So assuming that our highest principle dwells in the abode of the masters in Shambhala, and we're just resonating a little strand of energy down here into time, space, and our human biosphere, there's a part of us that is always seated at the right hand of God. What that means is that the Lord Christ interceded for us and is seated in the position of administration for this entire ascension process, this entire creation, this entire project of salvation, which is the returning of our distorted minds to the wholeness of our original oneness with God. And he's seated in the right hand of the Father, in Shambhala, so to speak, with the Father, Sanat Kumara, administering that program of ascension, salvation, upliftment, the dimensional change in consciousness that's occurring. There's many words for it. It all means the same thing. So to resonate with that frequency, we need to heal every area that's resistant to love. And since we really can't heal ourselves, the best we can do is turn to the Lord and do exactly what he's asked us to do, to give him the ravages of our mind, our worries, our fears, our torments, our panic attacks, our anxieties, our night sweats, our dreads. Give them over to the Lord that you visualize standing right in front of you, and you breathe them in, and you release them with your breath, and you receive from the Lord the infilling of his love and his grace. Don't try to do anything alone. We're not the Lone Rangers down here. He hasn't been called the Good Shepherd and we sheep for you know, for no reason. Sheep are the most labor-intensive livestock in the world. They absolutely will perish without a shepherd. They need a shepherd for everything. And so you got to come under the shepherding of the master of your life and follow the directives of that master who speaks into your heart and mind through your conscience, through your better judgment, through your, oh, we all know when we're not in alignment with what's right. We all know that. Nobody has to point that out. We know when we're screwed up, and we know when we're aligned. So keep yourself aligned by watching the vibrations you import into your mind, into your heart, into your thoughts. Watch what you read. Watch what you think. Watch what you put out in words. And bring them in alignment with loving. Bring those senses and everything in your being to the obedience and discipleship of the discipline that keeps you on that straight and radiant path of truth and right action and peace and love and nonviolence. And those are the vibrations that will lift you into your God presence. And then, well, a whole new level of life opens up before you. Because again, enlightenment is ongoing. Creation is open-ended. And we just keep expanding and expanding and filling more and more of existence with our omnipresent love. That's what I had to share for this evening. And I'll continue more on this the next show, because I want to go into the levels of consciousness that we enter through our open chakras. But I see our time is up for this evening. So let's Again, take a deep breath. And just release yourself into the love of the Lord. Call him Christ, call him Buddha, call him Krishna, call him Jesus. It's all the same being, just with a different shape for different folks. Different flavor of ice cream, but it's all sweet and pure. And let's go out chanting three Anai Yus. Again, this is a sacred chant that unifies us in one vibration of divine accord and empathy. It also serves to clear and purify the heart and the mind as we chant it. Deep breath. Raise our hands and bless every man, woman, and child, every sentient being on this whole planet and beyond, and all the subtle bodies of the earth. Let's bless all of creation, that every single unit of consciousness can awaken to the divine love and divinity that each one is an embodiment of. And so we end with three, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. And Shanti means and is the Sanskrit vibration of peace. Namaste.